It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
This is the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Who let those guys up here?
Well, 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 how the turntables.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Over Ultra.
That is very close to where he put that first ball, a three-run home run, followed by a two-run home run.
Hello.
John Singleton returned to Minute Maid Park for the first time in over 8 years, and he's having a career day.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It's the bullpen with the producers here of ESPN Radio. Myself, Brian McDonald, on the X at Sacked by B-Max, Sean Mapes from the Paul Gallant Show, at Sean A. Mapes, and Andrew Carlson from The Wheelhouse, question mark? At Carlson Radio on the X. It's still called The Wheelhouse tomorrow, right?
That question mark's very appropriate because I have no idea what's
We'll still call it The Wheelhouse for now. And our man, Josh, is back behind the glass. You can find him on the X, at IMJ Chevy. And we're going to get into the Astros here right now. If you have any thoughts and want to join us on the HRMP listener line, give us a call at 713-780-3776. We're going to talk Astros here, Texans later, and of course there'll be a groundbreaking Mount Rushmore plus one in the second hour as well. Let's start with the good with the Astros, and there's a lot of good. Only a few things I would consider bad, and that's basically Fromber. But Jonathan Singleton, you heard the two home runs he hit on Friday. I mean, not to state the obvious, but they were, according to StatCast, out in every ballpark because he hit them up into the second deck, nearly 400 feet, I believe, for both of them. Had three hits on Friday with exit velocities over 103 miles per hour. And even in the hits, even in the games he's not getting hit, he's drawing a walk. He got on base in front of Kyle Tucker before Kyle Tucker hit that grand slam against Baltimore, I believe, on Tuesday. So, and combine that with Jose Abreu going on the DL here for, I think, a 10-game stint. We're going to get to see a lot of Jonathan Singleton. It's a remarkable story. Obviously, he was on the team a long time ago and then has been out of baseball or in the minor leagues for a long time. Had a brief stint with the Brewers earlier this year. But, Sean, I mean, thoughts on what you've seen from John Singleton? Are you excited? Or are you, I mean, I know we're all universally kind of out on Jose Abreu. Could this be the power left-handed power bat that the Astros have wanted?
I mean, he could be, and when the Astros first signed him after he got released,
everyone chuckled, right?
Come
on, John Singleton.
I guess I shouldn't say when they first signed him. When they second signed
him. Oh, you're talking about the initial like $10 million deal when they bought out his?
I mean when they signed him earlier this year.
Okay.
I was like, are they just doing this for like, because it would be a cool story, giving this guy another chance with the organization, da-da-da-da-da. And then we went to ESPN 97.5 night in Sugarland for the Space Cowboys game.
He was still there then.
He was still there. They throw his numbers on the screen. I was like, whoa. He's like,
yeah, he was killing it.
He's actually killing it. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, that it get put in the little, you know, the little tickler file. Like, oh, maybe one day he could, you know, I thought it would take a Jose Abreu DL stint. He came up before he was on the DL.
Yeah.
So I am 100% for him being the left-handed bat at the trade deadline that the Astros needed. If he can just step in and be that role, I feel like that's a pretty good step and helps that it's a nice story.
Yeah, it's a great story. I mean, I can't think of another story really like it in baseball where someone is drafted high by, or he was actually traded for. He was in a trade with the Phillies, but a once regarded highly regarded prospect goes away for like a 9 years, and all of a sudden he's coming back and playing well. So, I mean, Andrew, obviously some of this works out because with Abreu going on the DL, but you kind of have a logjam because you want Jordan playing DH most of the time. Abreu, because of his contract's probably going to be playing first base most of the time. How excited are you for Singleton, and where do you see him slotting into this lineup?
So, first of all, BK is now departed from the station, so I have to do something that BK would do, which is, what's the DL? We have the IL now,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the IL. We don't have the DL anymore.
I said DL?
I said DL.
Okay.
Is Jose Abreu disabled?
Yeah.
No, he's injured.
Look, I know he's hitting poorly, BMAC, but Jose Abreu is not disabled, all right?
It'll always be the DL to me, damn it.
Okay. They canceled the DL.
they did, in a way, but yeah, sorry, my bad.
Now moving on to a slightly more serious point here after that incredible
If you're
going to
be PK, you're going to have to start pronouncing it Aggio.
And
Stagio.
There's things that I'm not willing to do.
Okay.
And
are you willing to speak for Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage?
Now, that I am willing to do.
Okay.
As long as they don't put any cheese in my dishes, because that won't end well for anybody.
That might be a problem.
All right. But continuing on with John Singleton here. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm excited by what we've seen from him. But at this point, the sample size with him in the major league level,
it's like tiny, 4 games.
But we also have seen him before. And I don't think that there's enough there to say, 100% John Singleton has figured something out. I truly believe that he's a quadruple A player, someone who absolutely crushes it at the minor league level, but isn't quite able to consistently hit major league pitching. Don't get me wrong. That's still an incredible player compared to 99.9% of the population. But for what the Astros need, I'm cool to ride this out for as long as it lasts. I just don't know if it's sustainable. I don't believe it to be sustainable. But part of the problem is Jose Abreu has just been so god-awful this entire season. He had that stretch where he played like an average first baseman for a couple of months. But other than that, he was terrible at the start. He's been terrible for the last month. So at this point, Jose Abreu has set the bar so low that even if John Singleton is a quad A player, like I believe him to be, there's a decent chance that he might be a slight upgrade on Abreu just because of the fact that he can accidentally run into a pitch every now and then and send it 400 feet when I've got zero faith that Jose Abreu can do that at this point in his career.
Yeah, I will say this as far as Singleton compared to Abreu. I agree with you. The expectations are low. I mean, the first year with the Astros when he got called up, he hit like 13 home runs in half a season, which is decent, but he was hitting like 188. Yeah. So I do believe it's possible that now, years removed from the things that brought him down, the various drug violations and whatnot that brought him down, he obviously was once regarded as a very top end prospect. So there's definitely talent there, and maybe he cleaned up his life and he's figured something out. I do think that's possible. It certainly could be one of the possibilities of what's happened with Jonathan Singleton, but most likely he's a guy that's probably going to hit low 200s, but at least when he runs into one, at least when he barrels one, it's going to go 400 feet, whereas Abreu, I mean, he didn't hit his first home run until middle of May.
Yeah, if he could be a Chris Carter light, for instance, I would take that over what Jose Abreu has done for the Astros thus far, because Jose Abreu is a minus defensively, he's been a massive minus offensively, and if you can just be someone who accidentally runs into the baseball every now and then and sends it really far, like Chris Carter did for the Astros for a number of years, I will legitimately take that and the threat that that presents over what Jose Abreu has brought to the team.
Because in most lineups, we're talking about whether it's Singleton or Abreu in like the ideal lineup, which I know for some Astros fans doesn't happen as often as they
no,
wish.
Dusty likes to mess with
but
us.
But we're talking about like the seventh hitter.
Exactly.
At least, it'd be different if you were talking about someone that had to hit third or fourth.
Yeah.
I would take maybe someone that would hit 260 versus 210 or whatever, but if we're just talking about someone to give you a boost occasionally in the seventh spot,
make something happen in the bottom of the line.
Jose Abreu is not hitting the shots that Jonathan Singleton hit on Friday. He's not hitting balls. I mean, it was basically the exact same spot, like back to back in the upper deck there in right field. We'll see what happens with Jonathan Singleton, because I do think, I mean, we've seen this with Dusty with other position players, obviously with Maldi versus Yonder Diaz. We've seen some of the same stuff with Jake and Chaz. I do think when Abreu gets back, it's probably going to go back to being mostly Abreu, but it is exciting to at least see that the Astros have an option off the bench now that can send it 400 feet.
And it's like, at the end of the day, it is the baseball season's very long, and you do just need something where, even for the guys in the clubhouse, this is just a fun thing for two weeks.
It's one of the best stories in baseball.
To ride the high of this guy coming back to the major league. So
absolutely.
At the end of the day, like, Yes. If Abreu comes back in 2 weeks, he should probably just step right back into being the starting first baseman. But for now, I'm willing to let this play out.
Yeah, I want to ride the hot wave. Someone else riding a hot wave, Jose Altuve.
Woo!
My God, this man. I mean, he's won an MVP before. He might be playing the best baseball of his career right now. He is, and forgive me because Baseball Reference hasn't updated his stats from yesterday, but he went 0-for-3 in his return to the lineup on July 26th. Since then, he has a hit in every game, which is a 14-game hitting streak, second longest streak in the majors currently. And these numbers are, again, not including yesterday where he had two hits because Baseball Reference hasn't updated. But during that streak, Altuve is hitting with a .434 average, .516 on base, .698 slugging with a .1214 OPS. Oh, by the way, Shohei Ohtani is leading baseball with a .1071 OPS. So he's talking about 200 points higher than the best hitter in all of baseball right now. I mean, I'm running out of things to say about Jose Altuve because he's just an incredible player. But, I mean, it's hard to believe. It's like 32, 33 years old. He's playing the best baseball of his career. I mean, if this Jose Altuve is the Altuve we get, I mean, greater sign even Yordan Alvarez right now.
Look, Jose Altuve is a Hall of Famer, and this is what Hall of Famers do, right? Like, there were comparisons coming into the year with how he had broken down a little bit injury-wise to Dustin Pedroia of the Red Sox, who had, at some points, relatively similar stats to Jose Altuve in some areas, and he's also a like smaller second baseman. So people thought that, oh, maybe Jose Altuve's body is breaking down on him a little bit like Dustin Pedroia. But the reality is Jose Altuve is headed to Cooperstown one day, and this is what Hall of Famers do, man. Like, Jose Altuve is showing exactly why he is going to go down as the greatest Astro of all time. He has bat-to-ball skills that are unlike anything we have seen at the major league level for the Astros at any point in the franchise. And, like, this is just who he has been his entire career, obviously to any greater degree just because he's so hot right now. But, like, this is beyond my wildest expectations for what Jose Altuve was going to be coming back from injury. And to me, at least, it sets us up extremely well, not just for the postseason, but for what could be the remainder of his Astros career. Like, maybe this stretch is an anomaly. I don't think it's going to be. Like, this stretch, if this is telling us, hey...
Well, 12-14 OPS is
an anomaly. Yeah, that's an anomaly. Yeah. But in terms of this is the sort of thing he'll be capable of pulling off at various points in his 30s, like, man...
Yeah, he's not slowing down.
Yeah.
He's not slowing down.
And you only need a few stretches like these for Altuve for this lineup to be absolutely, unstoppable, especially if he times this up right and has another one of these stretches, say, in mid to late October. Yeah, that'd be great. But with what he has to do in this lineup, like having this guy, this force at the top of your lineup just unlocks all the complaining that we did early in the season about this lineup not being able to give enough run support, all this stuff. With Jose Altuve playing like this, with Kyle Tucker, who we'll touch on later, playing the way he's playing, Yordan Alvarez, all of a sudden this lineup turns from like one of the, like, I don't know, bottom 10, bottom 15 of the league to like an absolute force in the playoffs.
Yeah, Altuve obviously had some struggles last year in the postseason until, I believe, the World Series where he finally turned it on. And you said it, Sean. I mean, if Altuve is at this level, considering what they have now, getting some of the players back, now maybe Jonathan Singleton's a part of that, this lineup gets so deep that unless you're a team with like three aces, which there are obviously very few teams that they can face in the postseason with that sort of rotation, I don't know how you get through this Astros lineup in a playoff series if Altuve is sitting like this. All right, we got to get to break now. Coming back on the other side, we've got to talk about some of the Astros pitching performances from the last week, especially J.P. France with another amazing outing. And got to ask the question, what is going on with Framber Valdez with an awful follow-up to his no-hitter? That more when we get back on the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. You need to learn.
Let the boy watch. He needs to learn the way I learned from my father.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, we carry all the best gear from the top brands, all at prices you'll love. And now shopping is more convenient than ever at Academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in. Plus, easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find our widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at Academy.com.
John Granato here with Dr. Kane Linville of Hair Specialists Houston. It's such an easy process. I did it. You do it too. You're a client.
Yeah, I'm a client of myself, I guess. I've done it like 3 times. It's super easy. I'm a big wuss, so if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Is it affordable?
Yeah, it's very affordable. I keep the price on the very low end of the market. I like to do it. I have no reason to jack the price up. I like to have it be a benefit for the listeners. Just love to have guys going out there that are happy and confident and living their best life.
Get your free consultation now at 975hair.com.
The official tequila of the PGA Tour, Maestro Nobel, welcomes global golf superstar John Rahm to the family as their new golf ambassador. Take it from me, Lance Erline, and golf sensation John Rahm, Maestro Nobel tequila is outstanding. Resulting from 11 generations of tequila mastery, Maestro Nobel offers several varieties, each with different flavor profiles. Discover Silver, Reposado, Humido, Añejo, and Diamante. Perfect to sip and outstanding in a cocktail. You'll truly enjoy Maestro Nobel tequila.
Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Aren't you tired of people getting your information and then selling it? Like KBB and these deals that sell all your information to everybody and have 20 people calling you and bugging you? It give me the VIN. We don't do that. We want to buy your car. We want to buy it for the right price. We want to be fast, efficient, especially in the summer heat. We don't want to waste your time. Get in, get out, get you paid. Make you happy. Go put a review up. Say we love these guys. GiveMeTheVIN.com. There is a reason that they call us America's best car buyer.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
This is Danny Braden with Fleet Feet Houston. For all of you runners out there, Fleet Feet is the best place for all of your running needs. Whether you're a marathoner or just starting out, the experts at Fleet Feet can help. Stop by one of our 7 Houston area locations. We've been running Houston since 1987. Because of our growth, we turned to HR&P to manage our human resource and payroll needs. Fleet Feet wins every race with HR&P.
Let HR&P customize a plan for your business. Get started at HRP.net.
Lance Erline here. Some say I am the preeminent draft expert, and they would be right, but I don't know if I'm the preeminent plumbing expert. That's why I trust Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's important to have a good plumber, someone that you know will do right by them. And it could be a busted water heater, broken pipe, clogged drain, or a running toilet. Any of these can be a preeminent pain. So make sure that you have a plumber who is someone you can trust. That's why I'm telling you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. I've used them. I trust them. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
This is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. It's the producers here of ESPN Radio, Sean Mapes, Andrew Carlson, myself, Brian McDonald, and our man Josh behind the glass. So last segment, we talked about some of the good with the Astros, specifically with Jonathan Singleton and Jose Altuve. In this segment, got to get into some of the pitching performances from what we've seen from the Astros this last week. And let's start off with another great thing like we finished the last segment with, and that is the rookie, I guess air quotes, rookie, 28-year-old J.P. France. Another great outing from J.P. France. It feels like it kind of took a shot at him when I said he was 28-year-old rookie. I didn't mean to, but it came off that way. My fault, J.P. So J.P. France last night against the Angels, 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, so whip under 1, 2 runs allowed, and 5 strikeouts. He's just been amazing. Hasn't allowed more than 3 earned runs since May 29th, and I saw this next tidbit of information from Brian McTaggart on the X. J.P. France has pitched 7 innings 5 times in his last 7 starts, including 4 starts in a row, and his ERA as a starter in that span is 1.98. I said in the previous segment, I'm running out of great ways to describe Jose Altuve just because he's doing it so often. I'm kind of feeling the same way about J.P. France. I mean, I don't know how high we take this hype, Sean, with J.P. France. It feels like we started asking the question a few weeks ago, like, could he be the third starter in the playoffs? I mean, it's beginning to get, you know, harder and harder to argue against that at this point.
Yeah, no, you keep waiting for him to look like a rookie, and he just hasn't done it.
He refuses
to look like a rookie. Part of that is because, like you said, he's 28 years old, so he doesn't actually look like a rookie.
Yeah.
He looks older than a rookie.
No, he looks like Travis Jr. from Reno 911.
Yeah,
he looks like exactly an off-duty cop.
But yeah, no, he's been fantastic. He really has been a steadying presence in this lineup or in this rotation that the Astros needed. Like you said, he hasn't allowed more than 3 earned runs since late May. So that is something where every fifth day you just have someone to be like, hey, this game will not get out of control as, you know, Fromberg goes through his struggles, in and out of his struggles, as Christian Javier goes through his struggles. Hunter Brown's been very inconsistent. Early in the season, it was Bielak and Blanco. So just to have...
The Astros rotation's been through it, man.
Just among all those things, against all odds, really, JP France was the steadying force in this rotation. So yeah, as it goes for the postseason, if he keeps this up, like, it really is tough to envision a world where he isn't in the postseason rotation.
Yeah, he's unquestionably this team's third starter going into the postseason right now. Like, obviously we have enough games where that could change if he totally falls off the rails, but I'll put my hands up and say that I was 100% wrong about JP France, because he had a nice little start and then he stuttered a little bit, and I just assumed when he stuttered, especially that time where he got bludgeoned by the Cubs at Minute Maid Park, I just assumed, all right,
the shoes dropped.
Yeah. Like, the glass slipper has fallen off. The carriage has turned back into a pumpkin. Like, the fairy tale that was J.P. France's run with the Astros in terms of him being a really solid major league starter was over. And really, since then, he has just gone from strength to strength and gotten better and better as the time has gone on. And at this point, I don't really think it's a question of, is he going to be the team's third starter in the postseason? It's going to be a question of, how is the team going to manage his innings to make sure that he's fresh and ready to go when we get to that point? Because for me, at least, he has shown enough, especially compared to his competition in the rotation. Like, there's nobody else in this rotation currently that I would want picking up a ball in that third starter spot other than JP France. Certainly not Christian Javier. Certainly not Hunter Brown. Like, or whatever else. Definitely not Jose Urquidy, what we've seen from him in the limited sample size since his return thus far. So, like, I don't think that there's any question right now that JP France deserves to be this team's third starter in the postseason. And it's just a matter of the Astros managing him, because I believe he's already pitched as many innings as he has at any point in his entire career. The Astros need to manage him properly to get him to the postseason so he's going to be capable of fulfilling that role.
Yeah, obviously the six-man rotation, which they're going to now, will definitely help a little bit. But you do wonder if they get to a point in September where they feel like a playoff spot is kind of assured, that maybe they skip a start and throw a Bielak or a Blanco back in there. Because you said it, I think the only thing I'd be concerned about with JP France, and that's amazing to say, the only thing I'm concerned about with JP France, because I was with you, like, he's a nice prospect, but he wasn't somebody in their top 10 list. He was never a top 100 prospect. So I've gone from not expecting anything from him, from being shocked when he does come up short, which obviously hasn't been a whole lot lately. But the only thing I think drags him down is what you said, Andrew, is just his workload, because he's going to sail way past what he's ever done as far as innings and starts in a season. So you wonder about, you know, what he'll have left in the tank in October. But, I mean, other than that concern, I mean, I think it's part of what people were talking about. Well, maybe France makes the rotation as a piggyback guy. Like, he piggybacks a Javier. And I'm past that point. I want him as an actual the third starter, not piggyback.
But he did come in three innings of relief.
He did piggyback against the Yankees. And he was good in that role, too.
And it honestly is crazy that he was the one that got the relief duty. I guess some of it has to just
do with... He's done it before, because they piggyback guys all the time in Sugar Land.
And just the days, how it lined up, it was going to be his start that gets pushed back when they reintegrated Urquidy and Verlander into the rotation on back-to-back days. But that was the one where the next day I was like... If I was JP France, I'd be a little bit like, wait, I'm the one that has to be a reliever now?
Yeah, have you seen the other guys here, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So going from the great of JP France, and this feels so dirty to say, considering he threw a new no-hitter, like, I don't know, 10 days ago, but to the bad and downright awful at times from Framber Valdez. So I don't know what to make. I'm almost going to have to treat you guys like my baseball therapist, because I don't know what to think of Framber Valdez right now. And Andrew, you got something right away you want to help ease my mind here on Framber Valdez?
Yes, at least from the start against Baltimore. Now, this could just be the homer in me talking. I could be drinking that orange Kool-Aid. But for me, that start against Baltimore was not incredibly concerning. And it's just from this aspect and this aspect alone. But the Baltimore Orioles are one of the most patient teams in the major leagues. And they very often do not swing at first pitches. They try to work counts. And that is not something we saw a lot of against Framber Valdez. And it was something that was talked about on the broadcast with TK and Blummer a lot, where they were like, man, the Orioles are just jumping all over Framber Valdez right now. And I think he and Maldi just had the wrong approach coming into this game.
They got ambushed, you're saying.
Yeah, they did not adjust properly. Like, they were expecting the Orioles to be taking first pitches. and Fromber was throwing some meatballs up there, some 96, 97 mile per hour meatballs, and they were getting crushed. And he and Maldi did not adjust properly in the game with their approach. And that's exactly what I was going to lead to, is the fact that they just got ambushed. They did not have the right game plan. And frankly, if you're going to get shelled, going seven innings and allowing six runs is probably about as good as you can get for a starter in a start where they get hit around to that level or that degree. You didn't have to waste the bullpen. You didn't have to waste any extra arms.
That is a plus,
like, yeah. Fromber went seven innings, so yeah, he got shelled, but you know, he still kept the rotation in the bullpen largely intact.
And in a weird way, that is very much like what you would describe as ace behavior, where even on a day where he didn't have...
In a game where if that happened to Javier, he's out, innings?
Yeah, maybe he sees the fourth. But that to me with Fromber is like there's still something in there where he can kind of not settle in, but he can still like just grit through at bats when things have already gone horribly, horribly wrong. He still has like something in him. Now, as far as the gestures, everything, the rest of Fromber's 2023, especially since June.
Yeah, so
I don't really have that many answers for
him. So here's the numbers. He's obviously the no-hitter sandwich, the no-hitter sandwich between two outings on either side where he allowed six earned runs. Since June, his ERA is 4.24, which that's basically what Javier and Hunter Brown are throwing. It's not the worst ERA ever, but it's not befitting of a guy that we thought was going to finish top three in the Cy Young Award. The worst number, his last five starts, including the no-hitter, including a no-hitter where he only walked one guy.
A zero-run
no-hitter.
Zero is ERA.
I guess it's possible to have a no-hitter with a run allowed. Anyway, you can walk some guys. But regardless, his last five starts, including a no-hitter, his ERA is over six.
Not great.
I just don't know what to make of that. I mean, Andrew, you did help me feel a little bit better here, pointing out maybe a bad approach in their game plan and going up against the Orioles. It does make me question, though, the Maldi truthers, though, who always claim that he has the perfect game plan.
He did against Cleveland.
He did against Cleveland.
Against a trash-ass Cleveland team.
Congratulations. The Guardians, who you won't see in the playoffs. It won't matter. I mean, the Orioles you might actually see in the playoffs. But I don't know what – there's been so much Jekyll and Hyde with Fromber since the calendar determined to June. I just don't know what to – like, I feel more confident right now, and this is crazy – when I know J.P. Francis starts, like, okay, I'm going to get seven innings, two earned runs. A Fromber, who knows?
Yeah. No, I second everything. I am not your therapist.
Okay. You're my enabler?
I'm not your baseball – no, I'm sitting on the couch next to you.
Okay, okay.
Being like, I don't get it either. I really don't. The no-hitter – I mean, this isn't a shock.
It feels like the outlier now.
It makes it even weirder that it's like – so he struggled – again, like as far as you can go back, and then there's also just a no-hitter throw in the middle of that.
Not only a no-hitter, but like one of the best no-hitters ever. I mean, he's under 100 pitches, he only walks one guy, and he gets a double play, so he faces the minimum. It's damn near a perfect game.
No, got nothing for you. Yeah, sorry. Okay.
I wish I could make you feel better, BMAC, but I for the stretch, I can't.
You helped
for the
a little Baltimore, bit. For the you helped Baltimore a little game, bit. You helped a little bit.
So his next outing, maybe he carries some of that no-hitter, momentum.
So he'll have the Mariners tomorrow, right? I believe it's the Mariners, whoever they're facing. No, it's not the Mariners in town. No, he's at the Miami Marlins.
At Marlins on Monday.
So he's got Luis Arraez and Jorge Soler. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. if he gets back to ace form against the Marlins, I'll feel a little better. That is a decent lineup. It's not the Orioles lineup, but it is a decent lineup. All right, we got to get out here. When we get back, we got to talk about Kyle Tucker and if the Astros will finally pay the man. That and more when the bullpen returns in 3 minutes here on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. What did we say to you?
And if I said something to you, maybe I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it, but I don't think I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But if I did, then tell me what it was, and I'll say sorry for that too.
It's hard to miss the new eye-catching digital billboard on wheels cruising around town. That's Running Boards Marketing. Running Boards Marketing literally drives your message straight to your target audience, boosting brand recognition and increasing sales and revenue. Are you ready to reach more customers and get ahead of the competition? Then call 713-898-7839. That's 713-898-7839. And visit rbmwesthouston.com. rbmwesthouston.com.
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, time is of the essence if you have lawn furniture that needs powder coating right now.
Yes, it is. We are in peak season coast to coast. That means everyone is getting their patio furniture done. It does take 4 to 5 weeks to turn around, so please take that into account when you're planning your 4th of July, birthday parties, graduations, weddings, whatever you're doing. Please let us know you have a party coming up, and we will accommodate the best we can do to get you your furniture on time.
Pick it up and deliver it.
Yes, we will pick it up and deliver it free of charge.
How about that? What else can Houston Powder Coaters do?
We do a lot of car parts. There are some things that we just don't do, which is going to be like brake calipers, engines, stuff like that. But for the most part, we do wheels, we do bumpers, we do frames.
What if I have art in my backyard?
We can do that. So yard art, fountains, if it's metal, we're able to do it.
HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Whatever it is that you have metal that you want to keep and make it look great, HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Waymore Silencers, the only one-stop Class 3 NFA dealer with the largest selection in all of Houston, just got in the brand new Silencer Co. Scythe TI. The Scythe TI is Silencer Co.'s first premium titanium 30 caliber suppressor. This new suppressor is intended for bolt guns and semi-automatic rifles, with the added bonus of no barrel length restrictions. It'll shoot 30 cal down to 223. Plus, it's ultra-lightweight, perfect for hunting. Don't forget, Waymore Silencers has one of the only in-house electronic fingerprinting and photo services in town. Best of all, they eliminate all the hassle by filing the NFA Form 4s for you. Waymore Silencers is located at 15255 Gulf Freeway, Suite 167B, right off the Dixie Farm Road exit, or online at waymoresilencers.com. Again, they're at 15255 Gulf Freeway, Suite 167B, right off the Dixie Farm Road exit, or waymoresilencers.com. Way more selection, way more personalized service, way more silencers. Your one-stop shop for the right to remain silent.
After a paddle through Santa Elena Canyon or a plunge in the Guadalupe River, there's nothing better than the taste of an ice-cold Rambler sparkling water. This year, to celebrate 100 years of Texas State Parks, Rambler Sparkling Water has partnered with HEB and Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation to bring you limited edition commemorative packaging. Pick up a 12-pack of Rambler Sparkling Water at your local HEB while supplies last. And get Ramblin', because every can matters.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Tucker's first pitch, deep right field, 4-0 Astros! You talked about him during our open, AJ, home run number 22 on the season.
And now he has even more home runs. That, of course, the game from... actually, that was his 22nd home run yesterday. My fault. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. The bullpen here with the producers of ESPN Radio, Sean Mapes, Andrew Carlson, myself, Brian McDonough, our man Josh behind the glass. So Kyle Tucker, the Astros once tried to get him on a team-friendly deal like they did with Alex Bregman and Yordan Alvarez. He turned it down. They then lost won an arbitration battle and for some reason argued with him over $2 million. And now his next contract is getting more expensive and more expensive and more expensive. And we're going to have to ask the question, how much is Kyle Tucker going to get on the open market? And will the Astros be willing to match or exceed to get Kyle Tucker to remain here in Houston? Kyle Tucker hitting .297, 22 home runs, 88 RBI already, I believe 24 steals. His numbers across the board are amazing. He's a gold glove caliber defender and out there in right field. And I think we're talking about a guy that's going to end up with, you know, a top 3 to 5 contract in all in baseball if he hit the true open market and the Astros don't get a deal done. For context, right now, the top outfield contracts this year, just a single year, what they're making this year, you have Judge at $40 million, Mike Trout at 37.1, Stanton at 32, Chris Bryant at 28, and Bryce Harper at 27.5. Wow.
Got choked up.
Yeah, voice, yeah. Wow. I started thinking about Kyle Tucker in another uniform, and I couldn't handle it. No, but I was going to say, I think Kyle Tucker, I mean, he slots right there in the middle. I mean, I don't think he gets $40 million a year like Judge. He doesn't get 37.1 per year like Trout. But I don't see a reason why Kyle Tucker couldn't ask for and receive around $30 million. I was looking some of this up yesterday, the spot rack projections. They have his estimated market value at 10 years, $360 million, which just like, well, I'm going to have to see Kyle Tucker under the uniform when I saw that number. And I don't fully understand how they come up with this lower number, but they have a value based on projected regression and him compared to comparable players. And even that is 10 years, $328 million. So, I mean, you start to wonder, can the Astros actually afford to even have the conversation with Kyle Tucker?
I mean, they 100% can afford to have the conversation with him. It's just, Jim Crane, you're going to have to break your rule. You're going to have to break your rule if you want to sign.
It's going
to
take more than 6 years, Jim.
If you don't want to break your rule, Kyle Tucker is going to play for a different team. It really is just as simple as that. That someone is going to give him the $35 million a year for 10 years deal.
Yeah.
That is just going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you look at some of the biggest deals in baseball right now. We mentioned Judge, Trout. You also have Stanton, who signed a 13-year, $325. Bryce Harper, who we mentioned, 13 years, $330. Mookie Betts, 12 years, $365. I mean, some of those AAVs, specifically Betts and Harper, are lower than the $30 million we talked about with Tucker because they would spread it out so far. So maybe that's something. I mean, Tucker's only 26 years old.
Yeah, it would be a 27-year-old free agent.
Right, exactly. So if you were willing to give that 13-year deal, it's not as damaging as some of these deals we see where guys end the contract when 43 years old. He'd still be under 40 when he would end that deal, even if you went 13 years. But, he's got to make – I don't think he makes Judge or Trout money, like I said. I don't think he makes Stanton money. But he's got to make more than some of these guys like Chris Bryant, Christian Yelich, who are 7 years, 182. I mean, he's going to laugh that contract. I mean, Kyle Tucker's going to hang up the phone if you try to offer him that contract. So I'm looking at it, and I think you at least start the conversation at 10 years, $300 million, basically $30 million per year, and go from there. I don't know what your guys – I know some people here at the station, including Jeremy Branham, aren't willing to do 10-year deals. How do you guys feel about them in general? Would you be willing to go 10 years, $300 million for Kyle Tucker?
Absolutely. For me, there's not really a question there because the age at which Kyle Tucker is signing this deal, if 8 of those 10 years – and really even 7. I would say if 7 or 8 of those 10 years are years where you're getting Kyle Tucker at his best or near his best, it's a – exceptional deal for the Astros from the perspective of value in terms of what you're going to be able to get back. Now, obviously, it's going to suck, the back end of that contract. We see this all the time in baseball where teams are willing to offer these contracts knowing the last 2 or 3 years are going to be really painful. The problem is that's something they weren't willing to do with Carlos Correa, right? They were willing to offer him as much AAV as just about anybody else in the market, but it was only going to be for 5 years, for 6 years. And if Dana Brown is able to whisper those sweet nothings into Jim Crane's ear to get him to get this deal done, then full credit to him, because I think that's legitimately the only avenue for this to happen, is for Dana Brown to lay out the case to Jim Crane to tell him, this is why you need to break your rules and the way that you have operated to go sign Kyle Tucker. Because we all know that Jim Crane, if he's the one that's the sole decision maker in that room that has any power whatsoever, he's not going to make this happen. But from a value perspective, this is something I absolutely would do. The only question is, how high are we going? I would probably extend myself to 10 years, $350 million, if I'm being 100% honest. It's not my money. I know that Jim Crane has the ability to extend that far and to spend it. But once you get past that 10 years, $350 million mark, that's where I'm starting to question, all right, do I believe that he's worthy of the 40 AAV that Judge currently has, the 40 mil AAV?
I would pass it.
I would pass it that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would pass to that too. I think I agree with you. I would offer the 10-year $300 million today if you wanted to take it. But I would, in the negotiating process, I'd be willing to go up to 10 years and $350 million. But we've got some of these guys. I mean, Judge is at 360 million. Trout is over 400 million. Mookie Betts 365. So there's a case where he goes up even higher than that, but you made a good point there, Andrew. Some of the worry when people say, oh my God, I'm never going to do a 10-year deal is obviously those last 3 years. We saw what happened to Pujols. We see what's happening right now with Giancarlo Stanton, where he's hurt every single year. Miguel Cabrera, exactly. But Kyle Tucker, he's not when Springer came due, he was already 28, 29 years old when Springer came due. Kyle Tucker's obviously a few years younger than that. So, I mean, if you can give me on a 10-year deal 7 years of prime play, I don't really care if there's a fall off at the end, because this Astros team that's in their prime now, they're going to be gone anyway.
Yeah, and to my knowledge, maybe I'm forgetting something, but he has not had a major injury.
Yeah, right? And that's the other thing. Like, compared to, you know, like you brought up Carlos Correa. Like, I understood it with Correa because Correa's had an injury history.
Yeah, apparently his MRIs, they're just all sideways or something. All of his bones are facing the wrong direction. I don't know.
He's not Yordan, right? Isn't like giving a 10-year contract to Yordan, who's already had knee replacements in both knees. And like, his hands and wrists are falling off, apparently. And he's still able to hit 40 home runs a year with nubs for hands. Like, this isn't like the sort of thing where you're giving this contract out to someone who's just been on the IL, not the DL, on a consistent basis.
It's always the DL to me, Andrew. I'm sorry. Forever DL. Hashtag forever DL.
That you're on the forever DL.
Hey, man, I'm about to hit 40 later this year. I'm starting to feel like I'm on the forever DL. But, yeah, look, I mean, I got it with Carlos Correa. I mean, I was endorsing, you know, paying Carlos Correa. I didn't obviously know what Jeremy Pena will become, and obviously he made us forget about Carlos Correa in a way. But I understood it with Correa because he was injury-prone. I understood it with Gerrit Cole because pitchers, they just break down so much. Even horses like Gerrit Cole. But Tucker, he's at an age where it makes sense. He's at a production where it makes sense, and he's never had that injury concern.
Yeah, and like you said, the difference between being a starter and being an outfielder, a healthy outfielder, an outfielder who's having his best season right now, really all of these things are lining up to where Kyle Tucker's going to make a lot of money. You should have signed him last year.
He definitely should have got this deal done before now because it certainly got more expensive. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. If you want to call in and join the conversation, give us a call at 713-780-3776. Right now we have Lamont on the line wanting to talk about Kyle Tucker and his next contract. Lamont, what do you got?
Hey, man. How's it going, fellas? We all know the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. So what's going on in Houston is almost like the opposite of insanity. I'm not going to even say the opposite. If the Astros are doing something that has worked for 6 to 8 years, why go against the grain and go out of, I mean, they have a financial plan that actually works. It netted results. It didn't put you in the World Series 4 times, and you didn't got two chips out of that. I don't see why you would change that up to all of a sudden do something that don't work. And you named all those names, and I rarely see those huge contracts pay off. Maybe I'm overlooking someone, but to my count, I haven't seen a lot of those huge contracts work. In other words, what I'm getting to, I think Jim Crane's financial plan right now, the way he go about doing business with the team, I don't see why you go against that. It works. It works. It's proven. I wouldn't throw another variable into there, and that's all I have, fellas.
All right, thanks for the call, Lamont. Again, if you want to give us a call on the HRMP listener line, it's 713-780-3776. Quickly, before we go to break, the way I'd answer Lamont is, look, I know there's certainly an element of if it's not broke, don't fix it with the Astros' plan, and obviously it's worked out with Gerrit Cole, worked out with Carlos Correa and Springer. But I would say at some point, your ability to bring up someone from the farm system runs out. Like, you gave away a couple of your top prospects, including your top overall prospect, who was an outfielder in Drew Gilbert in the Justin Verlander trade. And you look at the farm system rankings, it's like 25th.
Yep.
Like, I mean, eventually the ability to churn through these prospects and bring them up and just replace all these guys that are going out the door, it runs out at some part. And I think Kyle Tucker's got to be the stopping point because there's not another Kyle Tucker in this farm system.
That's the exact point I was going to make, BMAC, is the fact that there is
great minds think alike.
Yeah, there is not another great Kyle Tucker here. There is Kyle Tucker was a blue chip prospect. He was a top 5 pick in the MLB draft. He was highly regarded coming out of high school. Like, there is a difference between what the Astros had in Kyle Tucker coming up to replace George Springer and whatever they would have had coming up to him before they traded away their top 2 outfield prospects to go and get Justin Verlander. Ryan Clifford's gone. Drew Gilbert's gone. I don't believe that either of those guys would have been Kyle Tucker. And to believe that magically, out of thin air, you're going to be able to pull somebody out of your minor league system that will be able to even remotely approximate what Kyle Tucker is going to be able to give to you is just crazy. Now, look, I understand what Lamont's saying in terms of you don't mess with a formula that has worked up to this point. And maybe you can go out in free agency and sign another outfielder that gives you a decent chunk of what Kyle Tucker is able to do without signing Kyle Tucker to a massive long-term deal. But I just believe that if Kyle Tucker is able to give you 7 solid years of that 10-year contract, then that's something that is absolutely worth your time and worth your money.
Yeah, and look, I know the Astros have kind of operated like they have a salary cap, but this is a team that's gone to 6 straight ALCSs, that's gone to 4 World Series. They're maximizing what they're making at the box office more than any other team in baseball. So, look, I'm not saying the Astros cry poor, but they can't cry poor over Kyle Tucker because they're making more money practically than any other team in baseball, at least top 5.
Yeah, basically, they have a budget and they stick to it. But after
I get that, but at some point you got to bend the rule.
But after all these years of all this success, can't they raise the budget?
Yeah, exactly. You save money on Cray, you saved it on Cole, you saved it on Springer. Can we spend some of that? You saved at some
every
point.
Every 2
you're
years?
You're saving money on Verlander. You're paying him like $16 million a year because of the amount of money the Mets are paying you on the deal. Like at some point you could spend the money.
Yeah, and one final point on this before we hit the break. I understand that a lot of massive contracts have not panned out over the years, but there are some that have. A-Rod and his contract with the Texas Rangers, he was a phenomenal player for the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper has already won an MVP in Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
and he's been a good player the
and
whole
he's
time.
Been a really good player since signing that contract
and they
in
made
2019.
The
yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I understand that there are some high-profile
misses.
Mookie Betts
has paid off.
Like, there are high-profile misses, don't get me wrong, but it's not like every single time one of these contracts is signed, the dude turns into Pujols 5 years into his contract and is just a total albatross for the remainder of the deal. Like, is that a possibility? Absolutely. But with someone with Kyle Tucker's injury history and the way that his production has been trending thus far in his career, where it's only been going up, I just don't see a way where you're saying, oh, in 3 or 4 years, you can already say that this deal would be a mistake. I just don't see it.
Absolutely. I completely agree with everything you said there, Andrew. All right. Coming up next here in the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5, we got to get into the Texans and all our overreactions and hot takes in the first game of the preseason, that dominating win, as I saw the Chronicle title it, over the New England Patriots. I love the verbiage there for a preseason game. All our takes on D'Amico Ryan, CJ Stroud, and more when we get back here in the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com on the chase long.
On the chase long, on the chase long, on the chase long, all day long, on the chase long.
DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles is your best bet this football season. Catch all the action and immerse yourself in over 3,200 square feet of LED screens. Wager, watch, and win in the sleekest setting with the best odds. Order some of your favorite bites and sip on an award-winning cocktail at your game day headquarters. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook, Louisiana's largest sportsbook. At the Golden Nugget Casino Lake Charles, a 2-hour drive from Houston. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Please call 1-877-770-STOP.
At Academy Sports and Outdoors, we carry all the best gear from the top brands, all at prices you'll love. And now shopping is more convenient than ever at Academy.com and on the Academy app. Enjoy free shipping on orders of $25 or more with sign-in. Plus, easy in-store or curbside pickup. Shop anytime, anywhere, and find our widest selection of colors, styles, and sizes. From grills to fitness equipment to workout clothes, everything you need to have fun out there is right here at Academy.com.
Hey guys, Lance Erline here. Does your knee pain keep getting worse and worse? Well, how about that pain in your shoulder, your hip, your back? Hey, don't let them tell you that steroids and surgery are your only options. Take my advice now and call QC Kinetics. They can make that pain go away with all-natural, advanced regenerative medicine. They're helping people here every day with these amazing natural treatments that restore and repair damaged joint tissue. It's like turning back the clock. Regenerative medicine uses concentrated healing agents from your own body that stimulates the damaged tissue in your joints so they can work like they were supposed to, and there's zero downtime. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in this exciting medical breakthrough, and patients here are getting real, lasting relief and are saying no to surgery and drugs. If you have pain due to injury or arthritis, this is a remarkable option that you need to check out, and the consultation is absolutely free. Call QC Kinetics right now, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285.
Pipes break, fires burn, water rises, winds blow, lightning strikes. Happens. That's why you have home insurance. But you also need a trustworthy contractor by your side. That's Pinnacle Construction. Owner Doug Johnson and his team are experts at dealing with insurance companies and rebuilding your home better than it was before. Pinnacle Construction, born and building in Texas with over 20 years of general contracting experience. Ask for the ESPN discount. Remember, happens. Trust Pinnacle Construction. Find them at 975generalcontractor.com.
Lance Zierlein here for Allstate Windows and Siding. If you're looking to give your home a facelift, well, forget about painting and staining. Call Allstate Windows and Siding for brand new siding. They are energy efficient and impact resistant from wind and weather. Call today, 832-204-1936, and ask them about their $2,000 off for complete siding jobs for their spring special. You can visit AllstateWindowsandSiding.com, and don't forget, they have discounts available for senior citizens, military, and first responders. That's AllstateWindowsandSiding.com.
This is The Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It was good to see Tank make some plays. We've seen him make a lot of plays throughout training camp, some of these same plays. So it was good to see him do the same thing here, you know, in a game. So he can be an explosive playmaker for us, and we look forward to him continue to make some of those plays.
Welcome back into the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. That, the voice of Texans coach D'Amico Ryans talking about rookie wide receiver out of University of Houston.
Go Cougs.
Sean's wearing a UH shirt, and here Andrew the Coug is wearing, I know it's Astros, but he's wearing orange. I don't know. I don't know what's going on over
here. It's not burn orange.
It's close.
Porn boy.
It's closer than the UH football shirt, I can tell you that much. But Tate Dell, look, let's start off with some of the good, and we'll later get into some of the bad from the Texans' first preseason game. Texans, as the Chronicle called it, with a dominant win in week one of the preseason over the New England Patriots. A road win. They went on the road to Gillette Stadium.
Into Foxborough.
Yeah, just one of the most difficult places to play in all of football.
Against the greatest coach of all time.
It was raining. It was cold for a summer night, and the Texans went into Foxborough and got the
Andy
job
Carlson,
done.
John Facenda over here. On the gridiron known as Gillette Stadium in the windy rain of Foxborough. Anyway, so Tank Dell, we'll start off with some of the positive from the Texans game. I mean, I think a lot of the thought on Tank Dell coming into the season, I mean, Andrew, you watched, I'm sure, way more Cougars games than Sean and I did.
Well, I'm wearing a shirt.
So. I mean, that's true. Sean, number one Cougs fan, obviously.
Him and Paul.
Him and Paul, number one, number two. Jeremy's like ninth or tenth, I don't know.
10 to 12, Coug hour.
Yeah. But I mean, I think everyone assumed because of his size, like, oh, he's a slot receiver. And then they come out, they line him up on the outside a lot during this game. And now as he lined up on the outside, but he's winning. He's burning guys at the line of scrimmage. He's making guys miss. He's getting open. Obviously has the touchdown pass or touchdown catch later in the game. I mean, it begs the question. I mean, I'm not expecting a whole lot from, obviously, Robert Woods at his age. I don't know what to expect from Nico Collins. If Tank Dell has this in his arsenal where he can be an outside receiver, I'll start with you, Andrew, obviously, third, fourth best Cougs fan here at the station. This
others unlocks, receiving votes.
This unlocks a whole new set of skills and plays and ways you could use Tank Dell that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and I think the most encouraging part of all of it, BMAC, is the fact that you're seeing some of the stuff that he did at the college level in the American Athletic Conference translate to, I understand it's one preseason game, but translate to the NFL, because we've seen it translate in practice and training camp already, and to see it translate on the field in actual live game environments is incredibly encouraging, because this is exactly who Tank Dell was at the University of Houston. You could line him up all across the field, and more importantly, even though he was a small, diminutive receiver, he was someone who could find a way to get open in the red zone, and to me, that was always one of the biggest selling points for him in terms of why his skill set would translate from the college game to the NFL game, because it was very unique to see a small receiver, someone of his stature, be able to separate the way he was in those confined spaces in the red zone.
Yeah, it was, what, 17 touchdowns last
year?
Yeah,
and consistently get open and catch the ball in those environments. And, like, that to me just shows you what an incredible, like, route runner and, like, just how electric he is with his feet in those short spaces. And it worked at the college game. There was a lot of question, is he just going to get bullied physically at the NFL? If this one game, one preseason game is anything to go off of, it's not going to be the case. He's going to be a successful receiver.
Yeah, and that really is the big thing for Tank Dell, is the like short area quickness and the just at U of H, again, watching every game every Saturday.
Okay.
He was a next level athlete. Like, you could just see, yep, in college football, you see it from time to time. There's just a guy on the field that like is just a better athlete than everyone else on the field. And that was Tank Dell. And so the question was he still going to have that electricity on the next level? And again, for one night against the, what, six-time Super Bowl
of all time,
the
Sean.
Six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. He did. He did. And that... I mean, the touchdown catch, I'm not sure how how replicable that is.
Yeah, there's some juggling going on.
I'd rather him catch it cleanly first time if we're being 100% honest, because he had both hands on the football the initial time.
He needed the defender to lift his leg out of bounds.
He actually gave credit. We're not going to get to this audio. I didn't even pull it, but he actually gave credit, or Davis Mills, like, man, that ball got on me fast. Apparently Davis Mills is out there throwing cannon shots out there. But, yeah, it's very encouraging. And John Metchie didn't have the stat line that Tank Dell did, but also because when I'm watching this game, because only really the first few drives were worth watching. So instead of watching the full game, I just kind of watched the first drives a couple times to look at different players. And you can see, even though he wasn't getting the ball, John Metchie showed a lot of the same great first steps, some of the quickness and space and the ability to get open quickly, which is exciting for, especially since the Texans have a rookie quarterback, because they're going to need guys to get open quickly, because he's not going to have, and this will be one of the bads we get to in a minute, but he might not have all the time in the world to make these reads. So one of the other goods before we get into the bads, Will Anderson. If Tank Dell was hyped, Will Anderson was the most hyped player ever. I mean, by comparison at least, Will Anderson hype coming out of Alabama, winning the awards he did, setting the records he did, was one of the more hyped prospects we've seen. And he looked every part of it on the field against the Patriots on Thursday. His first step was just amazing. He didn't have any sacks, but he was causing concerns and problems for the Patriots blocking, because he was by his defender or his blocker on the first step most of the time, and could have had a sack on. There was a play where I believe Grenard got a sack, but on the play Will Anderson blew right by the tackle. He would have been right there if Grenard hadn't got the tackle, and he just looked like someone that's going to cause a problem, to the point where the Patriots, like second possession of the game, we're putting in running backs to chip them already in a preseason game. So I don't know. I mean, it's one game, but I'm starting to buy into the Will Anderson hype.
Yeah, and seeing, like you said, seeing the training camp reports of that he's basically Lawrence Taylor 2.0, seeing it translate to the game again.
Hopefully less crime.
A little bit less crime.
Less
a
cocaine
little bit
use,
yes,
maybe?
Yes,
okay.
The drug crime. Yeah. Will Anderson just showing what he showed in that game. That's what you want to see. That's what the preseason is about. Like, you just want to see that these rookies can handle being on an NFL field, that they can, what made them stand out, what made them drafted, in Will Anderson's case, number 3 overall. That is what you want to see, and we saw it in New England.
Yeah, and that's what D'Amico's talked about throughout this entire couple of weeks leading up to this first preseason game, right, is that when the lights turn on, who is going to shy away from the bright lights, who is going to shrink away, and who is going to stand out and rise to the occasion? Yeah. And I don't think there was any expectation that Will Anderson wasn't going to be able to rise to the occasion. That is the first preseason game of his NFL career.
Right. But, Bill Belichick on the other sideline.
But, like, to see him be as advertised is really all you can ask for, because the advertising was really damn good for Will Anderson.
It was really damn good, and Sean, you mentioned it with Tank Dell, how he was just the best athlete on the field at times at college.
Oh, yeah.
And that, same thing with Will Anderson. Yeah. Like, he goes, you know, from the college up to the pros, and he still looks like the best athlete on the field, so that was encouraging. One negative before we get to break here, and we got some audio to lead us into it, but C.J. Stroud threw a pretty bad interception.
Now Stroud, hanging in, throws it to the near side, picked up.
Go.
And on the return for the Pats, sidestepping ahead is Mills. Takes it back across the middle, try to turn the corner on the far side. It's still on his feet until he takes the spill at the 24.
So C.J. Stroud on that play, if you didn't see it, and there are comments from D'Amico Ryans we won't have time to get to here with some of his thoughts on the play as well, but it looks like, When people talk about quarterbacks coming out of these ultra spread offenses, some of the things they always say is, oh, can he anticipate, or does he have to wait for it to come open? And that's what we saw, at least what I saw there on the play. C.J. Stroud was super late on the play. He stared down his receiver the whole time. Look, I'm not going to overreact to it, because it's his first time playing against, you know, other NFL players that are on his team. So I think there's a lot of there are things there that he can get coached out of, but it certainly was not a pretty interception. It seems like a lot of people are freaking out about it, but I did see some signs later in the game where he started to recognize hot. He started to recognize when pass rushers were coming through free. He was showing nice work on his rollouts and some of his checkdowns. So there were strides from possession one to possession two, but that interception was pretty bad.
Yeah, the interception was brutal, but I think it would be really, really harsh on C.J. Stroud to overreact to it too much just because of the fact that he had an offensive line made of paper mache.
Bad.
Like,
so
Austin
bad.
Deculus needs to never see a football
He should
field
not be in the NFL.
Ever,
he was
ever again.
So bad.
And the one positive from the offensive line, people, I can't break down offensive line
Was
play.
There an offensive line positive?
There were, apparently. So people that I trust
on
Twitter.
It was awful.
They talk about Juice Scruggs looking pretty decent from the center position, which was solid. The problem is, if you have 3 points of failure from the 5 points in the offensive line, which is what it looked like the Texans had at various points, it doesn't matter if you have one or two guys that are holding their own. If two or three of the other dudes on the line are getting blown by, which is what seemed to be happening on a really consistent basis for C.J. Stroud. But, yeah, the interception was bad. The only good part from it is the fact that he seems to already know what went wrong. Like,
yeah,
he can say,
exactly.
He can already diagnose, hey, I should have hit the check down to Dalton Schultz, and maybe he rumbles ahead for 10 or 15 yards and just sets up a 4th-and-5 and we have to punt. But that's infinitely better than the result that we ended up getting.
Absolutely, and that's what part of what I wanted to say is, like, you could see growth right away. You heard from D'Amico, you heard from C.J. Stroud after the game talking about some things that point to, like, okay, I know what mistake I made, and that lends me to believe that maybe he won't make it again.
Do we find it strange that C.J. Stroud's interception was thrown to a man whose last name is Mills?
Absolutely. This is a problem.
I'm just saying.
The Mills Mafia sticks together.
Keep your third eye open.
Josh. I don't know if
a Lannister always repays his debts, and a Mills always throws is always involved in an interception.
I don't know if you could, I don't know if Josh's comment was was on air or just in our ear, but he immediately said go to break when Sean started going into that conspiracy theory. And we will indeed go to break right now. We might get to some more thoughts on the Texans preseason game when we get back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But what we will get to first is just, and this guy has had a lot of these recently, but an awful, awful dumb take from Colin Cowherd of FS1 on the Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. That more when we return on the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here, your family.
Brother never told you never threaten a man's family.
Look at our family now.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.